Good afternoon, and thank you, Joel, for the introduction and invitation to be a part of this panel. I'm really excited to be here today to share with you some information on health literacy and how we use health literacy principles to develop communications related to the Dietary Guidelines for Americans. My office, the Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion, under the guidance of Health and Human Services, puts out the Dietary Guidelines for Americans jointly with USDA every 5 years. For the 2010 guidelines, USDA had the lead and therefore greater funding to develop all the wonderful resources that Shelley has just spoken about. With our small funds, ODPHP decided to focus on health literacy and developing resources that met these health literacy principles in developing key communication messages from the guidelines. I have no conflicts of interest to disclose. So in giving you a brief outline of what I'm going to talk about this morning, I'm first going to give you some background on what is health literacy and why we as health professionals should care about health literacy. Next, I'll go through some of the principles of health literacy that are important to use when you're developing materials to reach a broader audience. I'll also cover the results of some focus group testing that we've done in our office. And finally, I'll discuss some of the products we're developing using health literacy principles and focus group testing to promote the messages for the Dietary Guidelines for Americans. So, starting with, what is health literacy? According to the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, health literacy is defined as the degree to which individuals have the capacity to obtain, communicate, process, and understand basic health information and services needed to make appropriate health decisions. Healthcare institutions and public health systems play a critical role in health literacy by making it either easier or more difficult for people to find and use health information and those services. So this slide here is some research from the U.S. Department of Education looking at health literacy in the United States. And it's a little startling. Only 12% of U.S. adults have proficient health literacy. More than a third of adults were in the basic category. This was about 47 million adults. And about 30 million in the below basic health literacy groups. So what does this mean? These populations in the basic and below basic level in general have difficulties understanding warning labels on an over-the-counter medication label, just to give you an example. The majority of adults, about 53%, had intermediate health literacy skills. Even these individuals had some difficulty searching for and using health literacy information, such as finding information required to define a medical term in a complex document. So as you can see, there's a big gap here in getting the messages and getting the key information out to the population at large. So what's the real impact? Why do we care about all of this? Whoops. There we go. People with lower health literacy levels are less likely to take preventative measures. This is things like getting a pap smear, getting a flu shot, getting mammograms. There's a lack of knowledge about chronic conditions, about understanding illnesses such as diabetes or hypertension, and how to care for these chronic conditions. People with low health literacy are more likely to visit the ER, have longer hospital stays, and increase readmittance, also related to a lack of clear information upon discharge. Studies show that limited health literacy is associated with misunderstanding of instructions about prescription medication, medication errors, poor comprehension of nutrition labels, and increased mortality. One study estimated the cost of limited health literacy to be between $106 and $236 billion annually. So this is a huge issue. Indirect costs are also related in this figure, including chronic illness and disability, lost wages, and poor quality of life. In addition, health information disparities are an important contributor to overall health outcomes. So it's something we as health professionals all need to be concerned about. In May 2010, the National Action Plan to Improve Health Literacy was released. This is an HHS resource used to address health disparities, and it targets specific groups of professionals, public and private sector organizations, communities, and policymakers. It's based on two key principles. Everyone has the right to health information that helps them make informed decisions. And secondly, health services should be delivered in ways that are understandable and beneficial to health, longevity, and quality of life. Consumer materials, including those that are being developed to communicate the dietary guidelines messages, are all written and developed using these health literacy principles. So how do we do this? The first goal of the National Action Plan to improve health literacy is developing and disseminating health and safety information that is accurate, accessible, and actionable. So what does this mean in terms of developing materials? So this slide presents some examples of principles to keep in mind when designing these materials. Following these principles can help ensure that population at large effectively can utilize the information you're trying to convey, regardless of their health literacy level. So I'm just going to go through a few points here to keep in mind. Using the title and upfront text to make it clear what the material is about, for whom it's for, and how to use it. Choosing culturally appropriate content. This is in terms of pictures, if you're talking on a nutrition topic, including culturally relevant food preferences. Avoiding information overload by dividing the text in a way that makes sense to the intended readers. Be direct in telling readers what they should do. Write in the action voice. Using stories, quotations, quizzes, and blank spaces where participants can fill in and it makes the reader feel like they're actively involved. Designing the layout to fit the reader's natural progression through a printed page. And finally, a few small things that seem to make common sense, but it's often things we forget about. Things such as using no more than 2 or 3 typeface fonts on one piece of paper. Using a large enough font size. Not having sentences or section headers in all caps. Using extra white space in between sections. Using photos and visuals that directly relate to the material, and again are culturally appropriate, can all help to convey the messages in a more clear way. So what are we doing in ODPHP to help deliver the messages for the dietary guidelines using these health literacy principles? Our office focuses on searching the best ways and communication strategies in a way that reaches the public, makes sense to them, and inspires and enables them to take positive actions to improve their diet. Therefore, we employ a thoughtful approach to material development, utilizing various arms of communication research within a limited budget. And I'll talk about each of these arms individually over the next few slides. HealthFinder.gov is a consumer health website focused on prevention and wellness and is accessible for audiences with limited health literacy. The website was recently redone, and prior to this, over a period of 4 years, 14 studies were conducted to inform HealthFinder.gov layout and content. A total of 750 adults between the ages of 18 and 84 with limited health literacy participated in these studies. Healthy eating was one of 9 prevention topics which was studied for inclusion on the website. This slide is I'm going to go through some of the big picture findings from the study related to healthy eating. In general, adults tended to group nutrition, obesity, and physical activity topics together naturally. For this reason, when you look on Health Finder, these topics are compiled together so people can get the idea of an overall healthy lifestyle. In general, people understood the benefits of healthy eating or the effects of health as useful, but giving them guidelines or barriers weren't quite as useful in following. They appreciated actionable information, small steps, and interactive tools. Therefore, when creating Health Finder, careful consideration was taken from these focus groups to include engaging features, customized calculators, assessments, quizzes, activity logs, menu planners, recipes, and checklists, just to name a few. In 2009, ODPHP staff conducted a review of the literature focused on 2 questions. What are the current food purchasing and consumption patterns among various demographic segments? Secondly, what works when communicating to various groups on the health literacy spectrum? So I'm going to go through a few of the results here. The importance of weight control and nutrition seem to increase with age, while the importance of cost and convenience were more important to younger persons. The importance of cost and convenience also increased with decreasing incomes. Cost tended to be more important to non-whites than to whites. Very few people over the age of 65 use the internet for nutrition information. They tended to prefer written materials with only one or two educational messages in each piece. Conversely, among adolescents and young adults, computer-based education was better received than in-print materials. Minority and low-income populations responded favorably to the idea that healthy food makes one feel better. Women in general tended to rate all factors, taste, nutrition, cost, and convenience, as more important than men rated the same factors. And finally, for all groups, taste was the most important consideration for people as they made their food decisions. In spring 2009, HHS and ODPHP commissioned a group of six focus groups across three cities in the U.S., Baltimore, Little Rock, and Chicago. And so I'm going to go through the results of these focus groups. There was a total of 53 adults with limited health literacy that participated in these studies. 87% were those with high school graduation, 13% had completed some high school, 64% were female, and the groups were ethnically diverse. Participants were all of normal weight or overweight status. And so this first slide here just talks about making food decisions. In general, there was little advanced planning in terms of making decisions for your meals and planning things out ahead of time. However, if there was health issues present, such as diabetes or high blood pressure, there tended to be a little bit more planning involved. People were very influenced by taste, cravings, and convenience. They were also influenced by their family members' preferences, and they viewed eating out as a treat to fully enjoy. In terms of some of the barriers and motivations, primary barriers included higher cost, lack of convenience, access, and or time to have access to healthier choices. They were motivated by planning ahead, if they were motivated to lose some weight, and finding foods that were healthy but also tasted good, helped motivate them to make better food choices. Many understood the meaning of healthy weight and associated with this with eating foods that were lower in sodium, eating more fruits and vegetables, being conscious of their portions, and many of them also used their family as a source of strong social support. In terms of behaviors and communications, this is one of the ones that we found quite interesting. Many people use visual household objects in terms of designating portion sizes. You've probably all seen the deck of cards to represent a serving of portion. Within this focus group, people were very confused by this analogy, and they tended to prefer actual measuring cups filled with the food labeled with the amount of that food in it. In general, they really liked the video messages that we had put together, but it wasn't necessarily considered effective for retaining information. In general, they preferred a video and written material for long-term memory. And lastly, a few more things on behaviors and communications. People tended to equally prefer pamphlets and websites. One thing we thought was interesting is that participants were requesting scare tactics, such as a clogged artery photo, in educational materials. We found this quite interesting. A lot of other research has shown that people tend to respond more favorably to positive, friendly messages regarding their health. And overall, people tended to prefer to receive messages that came from a health professional, a physician, a registered dietitian, or someone they felt was like themselves. So in terms of communicating the dietary guidelines for Americans, what's next? One of the things we strive for in our office is consistency in messaging in print and electronic versions. Our office reviews material from a variety of agencies to ensure that the public receives accurate, informative, and consistent messages related to the dietary guidelines. Over the coming months, HHS expects to release a variety of materials for consumers, both in print and electronic, educational, and interactive. Social media and viral messaging will also be employed. The hope is that the guidelines stay alive over their 5-year lifespan. Oops, I'm missing a few slides, so I'm just going to talk through a couple things that didn't come up on the upload. One of the things that we do have in the works is a series of community workshops. These are based on the messages from the Dietary Guidelines for Americans and the Physical Activity Guidelines. We're currently in the pilot testing phase of these, but the idea with these workshops is that they can help community leaders promote positive behavioral changes in eating habits and physical activity, as recommended by both sets of guidelines. Additionally, we have a series with these workshops. There's a series of handouts and video messages. As you recall from an earlier slide, I talked about that people really like receiving both written and a video message. And so all of these handouts that we've developed follow the guidelines of health literacy principles, as well as making it an interactive format, having the video as well. So stay tuned for more resources from our office that are following these health literacy principles, and you can be able to use these tools within your own work. Thanks for your time.